so great to see you here tonight, guys. My name is Matt. I'm just imagining, like, I feel like when I watched that movie for the first time, it was already spoiled for me. I knew that Darth Vader was Luke's father. Can you imagine being there for the first time, finding out that Darth Vader was Luke's dad? Some of you are probably like, I do not care about Star Wars. I do not care at all. But some of you are frothing over Star Wars. So good to see you here tonight. If this is your first night, I'd love to extend an extra special welcome. It's so good to have you here. And I don't believe it's chance that you're here tonight. So I'm excited to kick off our new series. You can see behind me, The Big Three. We're not talking about basketball, but rather we're looking at the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I don't know if you might have heard this word, the word Trinity, before, and that's what we're going to be looking at, whether you've heard that or not. And when we look at that, the Big Three, we're looking at the three forms of God, fully God, but yet a different who. We're looking at the same thing, but in a different form. I've heard it said as one what, but three different who's. And I know, even as I talk about this, it's confusing. It still confuses me, and I think it will probably always still confuse me. This idea that there's three forms of God, that fully God, but yet fully Father, fully Son, and fully Holy Spirit. The same, but in a different form. And one way I've heard it described is, if we look at H2O, you've got water, that's H2O. But then in a different form, it's steam. It's still the same thing, but it's in a different form. And then if you think of ice, it's still the same H2O, but it's in a different form. And so that's what we're going to cover over this next 3 weeks. We're going to look at the three persons of God, looking at Father, Son, and Spirit. And I'm excited to kick off our series looking at God the Father. And I love a good stat. Most sermons, I share a stat. And in the Bible, Jesus actually talked about God as his father. It was recorded that he said, called God his father 150 times. But when I talk about this word father, it can bring off many different emotions. When I say that God is our father, this can sometimes distort the view of what actually a father is. We can view God as a father through the same lens that we actually see our earthly father. And some of you might actually have great relationships with your dad. You love hanging out with him. You really look up to him. You idolize your father. But with every father, they're all human. They all have flaws. They all make mistakes. And maybe there are some feelings, negative feelings, anger, abandonment. And maybe when I say this word father, it brings up more of those emotions than what I first discussed. Maybe it brings up feelings of being let down, anger, abandonment, fear, not feeling like you measure up to what your father thinks about you. And maybe for you, you don't even actually know who your earthly father is. And there's just this massive father-sized hole in your life. And this can lead us to view God in this same way. We can view God, our father, as the same way as our earthly father, that he'll let us down just as our father has. And what I want to share to you today is God is not the reflection of our earthly father, but rather the perfection. I want you to say that to the person next to you. It's a bit of a mouthful, but say it. God is not the reflection of our earthly father, but rather the perfection. So I love that. God is not the reflection of our earthly father, but rather the perfection. And your previous experience of your earthly father is not what your God, your father, is like. And we can look at the Bible, which actually tells us a lot about God, our father, and his character. We're going to put up a few slides in a second. And it talks about that in the Bible. It says that God is the source of life, that he created you. You are not here by chance. You're not some random atoms come together, but rather you were created by a creator. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then it says that God, he celebrates your successes, but in your failures, he comforts, he gives compassion. And also, as other fathers do, that he lovingly corrects us. He gives us wisdom when we need it. That unlike anyone else, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never abandons us. And as a father should, he protects, he provides for our needs. It says in the Bible that that Jesus is sharing about his father, and he says, look at the birds of the sky. Look how they don't store away there. They don't have pantries, they don't have fridges. yet their heavenly Father feeds them. And how much more important and how much more valued are you? How much God will actually provide for our needs? And then it says that God pursues us. He never gives up on you. God, your Father, never gives up on you. There's a great analogy. It's called a parable in the Bible. It's called the lost son or the prodigal son. And Jesus tells this illustration, allowing us to get a glimpse of what God our Father is like. And there's this son. So back in the day, you got an inheritance. And so there was two sons. So this son asked his dad, instead of waiting for him to die, he said, "I want half my inheritance right now." So his father gives him this. He takes this. He goes away, moves away from home. He parties hard. He tries to have a good time. He tries to find satisfaction. He does drugs. He pays for prostitution. He does all these different things. And his life ends up an absolute mess. He ends up living by a pigsty, eating food with the pigs. And he's thinking to himself, "Wow, what has gone wrong? My life is definitely not taking the path that I wanted." And he thinks back to his father and he goes, "Oh, I remember my dad. He had servants and they were way better fed than what I am eating out of this pig trough." So he thinks, "All right, I'm going to go back to him. I'm going to ask him for forgiveness. And he's probably going to be angry at me. He's probably going to resent me. But he might at least allow me to have some better food than pig's food, what he's eating right now." And so he makes his way. He travels his way back home. He's expecting his father to be angry at him for what he's done. But instead of being angry, it actually gives the example that his father, he actually sees him coming in the distance. He's wearing a dress, that's what they wore back then, pulls up his dress, which is very uncommon in that time, and he races after him. And the son's probably thinking, "Oh boy, he's going to like hit me, I don't know what he's going to do, he's going to tackle me, I don't know where he's going." But he races up to him and gives him the biggest bear hug that you've ever seen. And the son is shocked. He's like, "Wow, what's going on?" And the dad says, "It's so great to see you back home." And he throws this massive party, invites all his friends. And that's showing what God is like. That's what Jesus was trying to show us, that although we may go our own way, when we come back to God, he's got his arms wide open, ready to embrace us with a massive big hug. And what I want to share with you today is that we are all included. We are all chosen in God's family. And no matter your background, no matter what you've done, God still loves you as a father. And in life, we can feel excluded. We can feel excluded in school, in our friendships, even in our families. But in God's family, we are actually all included. No one is left out in God's family. There's a verse in the book of Ephesians, and it talks about the Bible says when we believe in God, we're actually adopted into his family. And it reads, "God decided in advance to adopt us into his family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and this gave him great pleasure." It gave him great pleasure to include us as part of his family. And so I was actually made to be part of another family when I got married a couple years ago, got married to my lovely wife, Jazz. And that meant that I now had, for the first time, some sisters, some sister-in-laws and some brother-in-laws. So I got two brother-in-laws and two sister-in-laws, as well as my parents-in-law. And my two brother-in-laws, a bit younger, Caleb and Levi, all their lives, they really wanted to have a dog. And so through school, their parents would always say, "Jeff and Wendy, my father and mother-in-law, we're not getting a dog." So Caleb and Levi one day, while they're still in high school, decided they were out with their friends, and they saw a sign of a dog for sale. So they thought to themselves, "This is our opportunity." And so what they did is they went and they bought this dog. Didn't tell their parents. Bought the dog. This is the dog right here. They brought it home. They did something very smart. They gave it a name straight away, called it Banjo. And I remember hearing this, and the utter shock of seeing this dog walk through the door. And there was no way that they were going to have to hand this dog back. Jeff and Wendy immediately fell in love with it. And they didn't have a choice. They did not get a choice if the dog was going to become part of their family. And maybe give it a try, but do not blame me if it goes wrong. I take no responsibility. But when we look at this idea of adoption that we were talking about before, that a parent actually makes a choice, they actually choose the child and they become part of that family. And that's what God is actually doing. He actually chooses us. And unlike my parents-in-law that had no choice of Banjo becoming part of the family, that God actually chooses to love us. He doesn't have to love us. He created us, but he created us with our own choice. We made mistakes. We went against him. So instead of just leaving it at that and leaving us separated from God, he sent his son Jesus. He made that decision to love us, to restore what we had messed up, that we couldn't fix ourselves. And when we believe in God, we actually are adopted into his family through what Jesus has done. And then we're forgiven no matter what you've done, no matter how bad. He loves and he cares for us. He chooses to love us no matter what, and God never changes his mind. And if we talk about love, true love, there's choice. If God created us as robots and we had no decision and we had to love God, there's no love in that. Love is giving free will. It's giving choice. And he chooses you, but he loves you so much that he's not going to make you choose him back. He gives us a choice in that. And with that, maybe in your life, you've made a choice. You've chosen to follow Jesus, accept him as your father. But maybe you've wandered off, sort of like that son, that you've tried to go your own way. But know that God still loves and cares for you, and he's there with his arms wide open. He will accept you. There is, once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God. He has open arms ready to receive you back. And I've shared a little bit about my story at Access before and my father. And so I grew up in a family, mum and dad, two brothers, and my dad loved us. Loved hanging out with dad. We loved playing sport together. And it wasn't until, everything was fantastic, until around about the time that I started high school and my dad started to get sick. And it was actually later diagnosed that he had dementia. And so then I started high school and gradually he became worse and worse and less like himself. He ended up having to move away, move into a home, and then he passed away when I was actually about 21 years old. And through this period of about 8 years, it was incredibly difficult. Even just preparing this message brought up tears. I was crying as I was preparing this message, brought up many different emotions. Sometimes I felt anger. I felt robbed. Why did this have to happen to me and my family? I had times of feeling embarrassment. My friends would come over. They'd try to ask my dad questions, but he couldn't respond. And as a 14-year-old cool kid, I felt embarrassment in that. My dad couldn't even communicate. And then there was grief. I felt sadness. Like, why? I'd cry. I'd do things that it seemed like, just unnatural. I'd just cry at different times. And I used to hate things like Father's Day. Father's Day was the worst. I'd go on Facebook and I'd see all these posts about their dads and how much they love their dads and their dads love them. And I felt, why don't I have that? What about my dad? And I'd even avoid going to church around that time. And even after he passed away, I didn't like coming to church on Father's Day because I found it so hard. Everyone else had fathers, but I didn't in that time. And this was incredibly difficult. It's very hard to grow up in that. And I remember one time, just like you guys, coming to youth, not listening to the sermon. So hopefully you're listening somewhat to me, but just did not listen to it at all. I was like, nah, this is rubbish. I was going to say another word. This is rubbish. And then I was just sitting there in worship and I was like, what the heck, God? This is not fair. And I remember just bursting out crying. And I was just crying there as I was standing there. And as I started crying, I don't know what it was, but I just felt this feeling come over me. And it wasn't like I heard a word, like there wasn't a word audibly or anything, but it was just a sense. And it was a sense that God's saying, I am with you. And it was amazing. Immediately, I stopped sobbing and I just felt a peace and a comfort in that. And I believe that is available to each and every one of us, to know that God actually loves and he cares each and every one of us. And that you have a heavenly father when you choose to accept him. And he's actually grieving side by side with you. He's there lifting you up when you hurt. And he's actually able to fill the void of your earthly father or another void. And that's one of my last points, is that God, your father, is actually able to fill any void in your life. And we're not going to always understand why bad things happen in the world. I still don't completely understand why my dad became sick. And just because we choose to accept Jesus and we choose to follow him, that does not mean that life is always going to be easy. It's going to be hard sometimes. But no matter what your relationship is with your father, or the lack of relationship, or maybe there's another void in your life, we all have a heavenly father who loves us and cares for each and every one of us. There's a great verse in Psalm that we're going to put up on the screen in a second. It's from Psalm 68, 5 to 6. And it says, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. I love this bit. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. You might be lonely in your life, but you are part of God's family. And as I said before, it's not always going to be easy dealing with that earthly relationship with your father or a different void in your life. But know that God is actually able to fill that. He is sufficient. So in a second, we're going to watch a video. It's about a guy that was in the Barcelona Olympics. His name was Derek Redmond. He'd gone through an incredible tough 4 years before this race. He'd done many injuries. He'd almost thought of giving up. And then he came to this race, the 400 meters, and he was the favorite to win this race. And so we're going to watch a video right now. I love that video. It's only just like a race at the Olympics, but it brings out different emotions. And I think it's so symbolic of us and our relationship with God, our Father. You see Derek there, he's absolutely devastated after pulling his hamstring after so many years of hard work and preparation. And then as he's trying to finish, as he's trying to push on, his father, he sees his son there and he pushes through the crowd, just as God does in our lives. He pushes through. He pushes past officials, gives them the don't argue. And he races after his son. He's going to not let anything get in the way. And he puts his arm around his son. And I love this, what Derek's father said to Derek. He said, "You don't have to do this, son." And Derek responded, "No, I have to." Stubborn, just as we are in our lives as well. And Derek's father then responded, "Well then, we are going to finish this together." And that's what God, our Father, is like. He comes alongside us in our different situation, our circumstances. He's there to pick us up when we fall. And I want to finish with tonight that a relationship with God, our Father, the creator of the world, is actually available to each and every one of you. He's at the door, knocking, waiting for you to let him in. But the choice is yours. He's going to let you make that decision, whether you want to accept it and believe it. But I believe that it's actually the greatest decision that you'll ever make. So I'm just going to finish, and I'd love to just give it a couple opportunities. So if you can just close your eyes now and just bow your heads with me. And I want to pray for you tonight, whether you don't know this God, your Father, if you want to make this choice to accept God as your Father for the first time, to accept the love that God has for you. And maybe you felt like there's something missing in your life and you want to experience the real love that God offers. Maybe you've tried your own way, you've made your own mistakes, but acknowledge that tonight you need God in your life and you choose to follow him with your life. And if that's you tonight, I just want you just, if this is you for the first time, I want you just to raise your hand right now where you are to know that God is with you in that decision. If you want to choose to follow God and experience the love he has for you. So right now, I'd love you to raise your hand. Awesome. So good. Alrighty, we're just going to pray with those that raise their hand. Dear God, as I pray, I'd love for those of you that raised your hand just to say the words in your head or even out loud. Dear God, I choose to accept you as my Father, my Saviour, the one who is able to fill any void in my life. I acknowledge that there have been times I have done wrong things and gone against you. I accept your love, and with your help, I choose to trust you and follow you with my life tonight. Amen. I want you to leave your heads bowed and eyes shut still. And I just want to give an opportunity for anyone else here tonight. Maybe there's some of you out there that are struggling with a void in your life, a feeling something's missing. Maybe it's the relationship that you have with your father, your mother, or maybe something else. Or maybe that you've run away from God and you want to experience the love of your Father again tonight. And maybe you need to be reminded that you are still a child of God. And if that's you tonight, I want you just to raise your hand, just to acknowledge that in your life. And with every eye shut and head bowed, I want you just to raise your hand. Awesome. Alrighty, that's fantastic. Well, I just want to pray for you right now. Dear God, I just want to pray for those that have raised their hand tonight. We just lift every situation to you. Every void, everything that this feels like something missing, we give that to you. We thank you that you're a God of restoration. We thank you, God, that you love us as a father no matter what we do. Thank you that you never leave nor forsake us, that you fill us with your comfort and strength to continue on when we can't. And I just want to pray for those as well that may have felt like they've wandered in their life and have gone against you, but tonight they're choosing to follow you again, to know that they are accepted like a loving father with their arms out wide. And we just pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen.